You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com. One place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
This is Jason Light, general manager of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and this is the NFL Report.
All right, welcome to the NFL Report. I'm Steve Weich with Tom Pelissero filling in for James Palmer, who's on the slopes. Tom, we are in Orlando, Florida at the annual NFL meeting, and what a show that we have today. We're going to hear from Antonio Pierce, the Raiders head coach, from the coaches of the team to the top three draft picks, and we're going to be joined by Vikings co-owner Mark Wolf.
Should be a lot of fun here. We got a lot of action already. We got rules changes.
Yep.
We got coaches dining and talking to the media for the first time since free agency. A lot of fun.
Rules changes also. We're going to be joined by Tom's fellow insiders, Mark Garofolo and Ian Rappaport, in just a minute. But the big news of the morning, Steelers coach Mike Tomlin sitting down with the media addressing his new quarterback room.
We're not resistant to competition, but as I've mentioned several times of late, I just think it's appropriate to establish positioning as we get into this thing. And the term that I've used is Russell has pole position. And why do I use that term? Because during this time where we're not formally working, man, I just think it's beneficial. His experience in the National Football League, his process that's been honed and perfected, talking about over a 12-month calendar, is not only good for him, it's good for teams.
So, Tom, we hear Mike Tomlin talking about that. Russell Wilson, who they acquired, you know, and for $1.2 million, and Justin Fields, who they got for a 2025 draft pick. They're in the quarterback room now. He said, we're going to leave it open for a competition, but I'm putting Russell Wilson there first. He's going to be the first guy to take some reps. Mike Tomlin has not been in this position since he's been the head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers. What do you kind of take from him basically saying, Russell is going to start out as the guy?
Well, Mike Tomlin is a big believer in having a depth chart, even going into the offseason, to clarify people's roles, the expectations. It removes a lot of the ambiguity and the questions you get through the course of this offseason. So we reported shortly after Ian broke the trade of Justin Fields going to Pittsburgh. I tweeted it. I was told Russell Wilson is the starter. Pole position? A little bit of a hedge
in terms of that.
He said, well, Justin Fields, when we get into camp, we get into the games, he'll get an opportunity to show his abilities, as only Mike Tomlin can say here. But listen, they want to put everything they have behind Russell Wilson. He's the veteran. He's the guy who really intrigued Mike Tomlin. Tomlin talked about this, too, at the breakfast, saying that this is a guy who is really driven to define his career. And that's something that spoke
right to
him. In other words, Russell Wilson's gotten kicked around. He's gone from being, let Russ cook, let him throw it around, Super Bowl champ, maybe a future Hall of Famer, to a guy who's been a punchline for a couple of years here. Going back to the end in Seattle and obviously a couple of tumultuous seasons, I think it's fair to say,
yes, in
Denver here. So now he goes into Pittsburgh, and it's still announced with a video on social media, and he's still posting the workout videos. Russ is going to be Russ. However, for the way that they want to play, it's kind of a throwback to what Russell Wilson grew up in. Play good defense, run the heck out of the football, and have a veteran quarterback who's going to protect the ball, make a few plays when you might need it.
And that's important because Arthur Smith, the former Falcons head coach, is now the offensive coordinator for Pittsburgh. And what was the identity of the Falcons? They ran the football. One thing Tomlin also said, which enamored him with Russell Wilson, is when they started speaking to him in this process, Russell had done his homework on the Steelers, their kind of background, not history, but how Arthur Smith wants to run this offense. So that really spoke to him as well. again, as Mike Tomlin is changing over his quarterback room. Tom, we also have some changes coming to the NFL next year here at the owners' meeting. The competition committee already has voted among its owners to ban the swivel hip drop tackle. And J.J. Watt says, just fast forward to the belts with flags on them. Here comes
easy to say when you're not playing anymore, J.J.
But Jonathan Grenard's playing the new Vikings defensive end, penalizing defenders for trying to tackle a runner who has the option to go down to prevent injury. Yeah, makes sense. So this is another interesting take because we know the NFLPA and the players didn't like that. But here we go, Jonathan Grenard Moore. You can't ban something and not show us the alternatives. Like, come on.
Rest assured, there will be a tape, Jonathan, that you will have to watch in camp, and you can ask all the questions. The league will do the tour. They'll show us probably the same tape with a few alternatives that they showed in the press conference earlier today. Listen, when Roger Goodell, Troy Vincent, Rich McKay all come out in recent months and say very clearly, this is a play we want to get out of the game, no matter what the opposition is for players or anyone else, this was what was going to happen.
All right, Tom, now we're joined by your fellow insiders, Mike Garofalo and Ian Rappaport. And guys, thanks for joining us. That's been a long day. But the banning of the swivel hip drop tackle, Mike, we're expecting this when we came here, but yeah. Let's explain for folks exactly what's being banned and why.
Yeah, because there is a lot of reaction to this, because the thought is this happens so often in a game and it's going to be flags all over the place. What the NFL has said, what Rich McKay, the chairman of the competition committee, said, what Jeff Miller, the NFL executive, tried to make clear is that it's not that common of an occurrence because it's not just a hip drop. It is the swivel hip drop, which they really did not hammer home last week. They hammered it home. Right. Once we got here, all of a sudden it was like, let's emphasize the swivel part. And that is the coming up off the ground. You can't really tell on that one. We'll see another one coming up here, but it is the...
Not a good sign, Mike. First highlight. Well, you can't really tell there.
Well, grabbing
this,
okay,
this is the one right here, the Mark Andrews.
Yeah, but he was already on the...
Right. This
already
was
on the ground.
But this was the Mark Andrews injury was the one that really got things in motion.
Well, it's The thought is you grab the ball carrier with two hands. Then you as a defender lift yourself into the air with some kind of swivel motion potentially. And then you come down on the player in a way that you're driving his ankles and knees into the ground. You're resulting in high ankle sprains and these types of things. They found, based on what they did from their review, the NFL, 230 instances, which is less than one per game. So don't panic. Don't be thinking this is going to happen like five or six times a game. And of those tackles, 15 resulted in an injury with a player missing a game going forward. So it is a high incidence if you're looking at it in that regard as far as injury. I talked to John Mara, who's, you know, been in the competition committee probably longer than anybody. And what he said, Ian, is that it's something that had to be taken out of the game. They understood the defensive players were going to be upset about it, but they've adapted to other things like the horse collar tackle, and they feel like they're going to adapt to this.
Yeah, I thought Jeff Miller, one of the NFL's executives on health and safety, explained it well. And you know, he essentially brought up the reaction from defensive players saying, well, you know, you tell us we can't do anything. What can we do? And then his answer was definitely not that. And to me, like you watch the Mark Andrews, Logan Wilson play where he basically breaks his leg based on being a defenseless player and a tackle. And it's like whatever you can do to make sure that one of the best weapons in the game doesn't get a broken leg on a routine tackle, whatever you can do to make sure that doesn't happen, I'm good with that rule. And I've been not surprised, but you know, eyebrow raised a little bit of some of the defensive players weighing in on some of these, you know, on the rules change, because the reality is it is a tackle that routinely injures their fellow players and fellow union members. They should be for this, not against it. And I'm a little surprised by it.
Which is why the union stance on this is the most interesting aspect to me, because it's a lot easier when it's player against team. They'll back the player. It's easy, right? In this case, it's half the players are against the defensive side of the ball, and the players on the offensive side of the ball are obviously saying, hey, anything you can do to protect us and help us out here. So it's like, which side do they take? And they came down strongly on the side of the defensive players.
But here's the thing. They announced this. Again, we knew this was coming, but they announced it at the same time. They say, well, defenses have caught up because we see that scoring is down. So now defensive players are saying, we finally make some headway, and now you're doing something to ban a tackle. Look, I spoke to Zaire Franklin, the linebacker for the Colts, who said, we don't go into any play saying we're going to tackle a player this way.
Yeah.
A lot of times, like Logan Wilson against Mark Andrews, is a smaller player trying to bring down a bigger dude because he can no longer maybe drive his helmet into him or whatever. So this is what it is.
Well, and listen, too, what do unions do? They protect wages and working conditions. The number one concern here, forget it, you know, I'm going to get penalized because my teammates, are we all going to get fined for this? The number one complaint, everybody last year with use of helmet.
Yep.
It wasn't about the very rare times it was called in games. It was about all the times the guys were getting fined the next week. And the guys like Jaylen Warren who were losing entire game checks. That's what this comes down to. My prediction is going to be you will see a ton of fines during the preseason.
And everyone's going to lose their minds.
Because right. Some officials, a lot of times the league will encourage them, hey, throw a few so we've got a frame of reference. We can look at those plays. What did you see? And then have them be correctable. When we get to the regular season, it'll be fewer fines, still some. It'll be virtually no flags. That's usually how these things go. And if it is something that egregious, I don't know that there's a lot of people who look at, for instance, the Geno Smith play where he gets dragged down from right. behind and say, well, that was a tackle that was necessary on the field.
And the one thing they also made clear was like, there will be no video replay assistance on this to help the officials. Right. Whatever the call is, the call will stand.
Yeah, the only video replay you're going to see is what they're going to send to these teams every week in and week out and say, hey, here were four instances that weren't called, and this is something that we're looking to take out of the game. It's going to be hard to officiate, which a lot of things are hard to officiate, but some of these are more cut and dried, right? Like the hits to the head, it's either a hit right. to a head or it's not a hit to head. The horse collar, you know it when you see it, obviously. On this one, you sort of know when you see it, but there's going to be ones that are going to be right up against it, and it's going to be a topic.
It's going to be the ones that don't get called.
Yeah.
That's going to be the controversy.
Yeah.
If it's something obvious that gets called, it's going to be, okay, yeah, that's fine. It's going to be, wait, why wasn't that called
Correct.
Now? That's where you're going to run into some issues, and that's where, again, they're taking their cue from international rugby. When this same type of tackle started to get outlawed, it wasn't with penalties or whatever they called in rugby. I've never watched rugby. It was they fined guys initially because you're trying to correct the technique without disrupting the games. We're going to see the same thing here.
You're a big rugby guy?
No, I'm not a big rugby guy, but it's very entertaining to watch. Spent some time in Hong Kong. Rugby was on play.
Have you ever seen a flag for a hip drop tackle?
Do they have flags?
I don't know.
Okay. Time to get back on the rails. Ian and Mike, thank you so much. Everybody, you can catch the insiders, these three guys, tomorrow here from the league meetings at 1 p.m. Eastern time here on the NFL Network. And coming up next, we're going to be hearing from the coaches with the top three picks in the NFL draft. This is good stuff. Come back and roll that tape, LC.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
LASIK. LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK. LASIK.com.
It's time for the Lead Block, presented by T-Mobile for Business. A sport as fast as football deserves America's fastest 5G network. Businesses go further with T-Mobile for Business.
A month away from the 2024 NFL Draft, and boy, do we got some quarterbacks for you. Starts with that guy, Caleb Williams from USC, the presumptive number one overall pick. But you got Drake May out of North Carolina. You got guys like Jaden Daniels out of LSU. Who could be there? The Bears take Caleb Williams at number two. A little conversation with Dan Quinn about that.
So based on what you've done and trading away the guy who was the starter last year, is it fair to say at this point that you envision taking a quarterback at number two?
I would say it'd be fair to envision we'd be taking a quarterback. To say where it'll be happening, I think that's a better question for Adam. You know, as the next weeks unfold, there'll be a lot of discussion.
Speaking of trades, is the phone ringing on number two? And is Adam even allowed to answer it?
Yes, I would say it's ringing. And because, like you said, the talent of the group this year. And so I would anticipate him, you know, fielding these calls as it goes through. But, you know, it's it is part of the process. And you do have to do your due diligence to listen and find out just to make sure, like, is there something that, you know, that you just couldn't refuse? I certainly walked past it in the hallway when I was with the Cowboys, you know, years ago for a trade that involved Herschel Walker and many draft picks and changed a lot of their organization. So I think anybody in personnel with the skill, Adam, they're going to listen, but there's only so many things that you would consider, and it had better be really good.
Dan Quinn certainly sounds like a guy who in his first year in Washington expects to be getting a quarterback pretty high here, probably at number two, although he did leave open. I mean, Herschel Walker, that was a big time trade right there. A blockbuster type of deal that maybe could get them to move. And maybe if their quarterback is not Jaden Daniels, Steve, moving back and getting a different quarterback,
that's a big if.
Could make some sense.
That's a big if, because the one thing at number two is that's the last spot in this draft where you know you've got your own opportunity to pick the guy that you want. Caleb Williams is going to Chicago. All right, that's money in the bank right there.
That certainly would appear to be the plan.
Appears to be the plan.
We got a hedge. Come on, we still got a month of drama here.
But Tom, you know, if they trade back, now they're dependent on what happens in front of them to see if they're going to get a guy. And if they come out of this draft and they have an opportunity to get one of the top quarterbacks and don't, that's a problem for Dan Quinn and the staff as they try to rebuild this roster. We see some of the moves that they made. You know, they added Austin Ekeler. They added some players up front to help with the team, to even to support a young quarterback. So if they don't take one at number two.
What I find fascinating is just the conversations I've had. I haven't seen Adam Peters here at the NFL annual meeting yet. But when I've talked to other GMs, and everybody's trying to figure out what everybody else is doing, more than one have said to me they think the guy for Washington is J.J. McCarthy.
Wow.
Is that the pick at two? Is that in a trade-down scenario?
Right.
I'm not saying that's what happens.
Right.
I'm not getting that from Adam Peters or the Washington Commanders. I'm just saying there are people in the league who believe that that is their actual guy.
Remember last time Adam Peters was in the situation, he's with the Niners, and people were saying, oh, Mac Jones is going to be the Niners quarterback. They ended up with Trey Lance. Neither has worked out, so they hope things go better right there. Well, we know who is picking after the Washington Commanders at number three. That's the New England Patriots. They also need a quarterback, and I sat down with their coach, Gerard Mayo, who, like Dan Quinn, did not sidestep the fact that getting a quarterback is a priority.
It's the priority right now, but with that being said, you have to really be in love with the guy to take him at number three. And right. So really all the options are still open for us.
Do you think your perspective of playing for so long and then coaching on the defensive side for so long is really giving you a special insight in evaluating quarterbacks?
Yeah, I think so. With that being said, I'm not going to sit here and talk to you about mechanics and things like that. But I can see competitiveness. I can see toughness. I can see a playmaker out there. But, you know, with our staff, with Elliott and our, you know, the quarterback guys that we have out in New England now, we have multiple, including McAdoo, AVP, TC. All those guys have been, you know, watching quarterbacks for a long time. And I really think we have to work together to come to some type of consensus to really feel good about number three.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that about I can't talk to you about mechanics and off platform or this or that. But the competitiveness, how important is that to you? You played with the greatest who's ever done it. You know, he was the most competitive guy to ever do it. How important of a trait is that to you?
It's huge. You know, you see these quarterbacks that have the mechanics. They have all the tools but lack toughness. You know, you're going to get hit in the NFL as a quarterback, and you have to be able to stand in there and really just get back up and do it all over again. So toughness is definitely a huge part.
What's it like following Bill Belichick, a guy you won Super Bowls with, and knowing his history? What's it like stepping into that role?
It's tough. I mean, look, those are huge shoes to fill. At the same time, I have to be myself. It's gotten me this far, and I'm not trying to be Bill Belichick. I'm Gerard Mayo. This is me. And when you talk about establishing cultures and leadership, I have a certain way of doing that. But at the same time, I did learn a lot from, you know, perhaps the greatest coach in all time.
You know, later on in that interview, Tom, Mayo told me that also one of his huge influences coaching is Mike Tomlin. They're both from the same town in the Hampton, Virginia area. But Tomlin has really given him a lot of insight as well. But I want to get back to what he was saying about quarterback, because unlike Washington, who knows what's going to happen in front of them, Patriots don't. And if Washington chooses the quarterback that the Patriots may like, because you heard him say they have to come to a consensus, then maybe they bail, because we know there's about five teams that want to get up and get one of these quarterbacks. So it'd be very interesting. I still don't think they'll bail. I still got the feeling after talking with him, they're going to keep the pick and choose a quarterback right there. But then, and their roster's kind of barren, they're going to have to build a roster around the quarterback that they take right there. More so what Washington is doing is building a roster now to support a young quarterback.
And the questions are, who would be those teams trying to trade up? You've got the Giants at number six. Brian Daboll told me earlier this week that when Daniel Jones gets back, he's the guy, which is kind of the thing you have to go with, because he's making $35.5 million guaranteed. Doesn't preclude the Giants from drafting a quarterback. The Vikings now on the 11 and the 23 picks.
Depending
what value chart you go with, that's enough to get you up to about number four. So they could be a potential team. And, of course, the Raiders.
Yep.
We know when Mark Davis and Antonio Pierce sat down with all the prospective GMs, a big piece of it was, how do we go get the quarterback? What would it take for us to go get the quarterback here? There are a bunch of teams potentially in that trade-up mix. And usually there's somebody, Steve, who maybe secretly also is in that mix.
That's a wrap for the Lead Block presented by T-Mobile for Business. A sport as fast as football deserves America's fastest 5G network. Businesses go further with T-Mobile for Business.
Coming up next on the NFL Report, you do not want to miss this. It is 100% unplugged and unfiltered.
Awesome.
Antonio Pierce, the head coach of Las Vegas, and he brings the fire. Next on the NFL Report.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Let's do what we do, boy. Let's do what we do. Be special tonight. All right, crazy legs, get some juice now. Let's go. Up top, huh? Up top. 4, 3, 2, bam. Let's go. What? Like it. Like it. Pound them. Pound them. Pound them. Pound them. Let's get the ball off this. We sat down.
Yeah, right. I got it.
Fifth sack of the game. You can't keep this D-line down.
Good job, coach.
Sorry I didn't get a chance to see you before, man. It's awesome seeing what you're doing as a former player. Yeah.
You just heard Raiders coach Antonio Pierce from the sideline. And we know in the locker room he loves to scream, Raiders. Well, you're going to love hearing him screaming what he told me in this interview.
Something I grew up with, right? As a kid hearing that and saying it. Then, you know, you go to the league, play some football and do some other things. And then you're the linebacker coach and kind of a foot soldier. And you just fall in line and looking around like, man, we're missing something. So after that first win, was they getting interviewed by Tracy, and I was just like, it just came out. It was just, be honest, it was just, it wasn't planned. I didn't think nothing of it. Then when I got in the locker room, I could just look at all the guys there. They're like, AP, what are we going to do? And boom, I just let it out. And it's one of those moments like, you know when you're chanting, right? Something's good happened.
Right.
Either you win the game or you become the head coach of Las Vegas Raiders. You start the press conference off that way. But to me, it's just that's Raider Nation. They understand it. You know, maybe everybody doesn't. Like, oh, man, coach shouldn't do that. Why not? Why not? You know, and it's something now. Look at it. We signed Christian Wilkins, and then he starts his press conference that way. So, you know, it's just something that's contagious. I think our team, I know our fan base, I even think our organization has really, you know, embrace that. And that's a good thing.
Well, what about that? Because, I mean, clearly you said, oh, coach shouldn't do that. You're your authentic you. And how do you think that translates to players?
Well, they read through the BS. I did when I was a player, especially now with these players, because everything they do is scrolling, right? So they get a lot of information, more than we got. But It's easier to be yourself and never have to fake it, because I'm not lying. You know, I never have to worry about what I said or what I'm doing, or did I say it the right way, because it just comes out. And I try to filter myself as much as possible, but when I played, I didn't filter myself. When I live my life as a normal person every day, when I go back to being just Antonio Pierce walking down the street, I can be myself. And damn it, why not when I'm the Raider coach? Just be myself.
I love that. So tell me this. You talk about these players today. Hey, it's the Instagram. It's this and that. Like when you played, like you were a G, right? You were like that tough dude. How do you have to maybe adjust to relate to the players too, who have all this information or constantly posting this and that, to say, okay, I know how I used to roll. Maybe you're a little differently, but we're going to come to a happy medium to get the best out of you.
Yeah, I mean, one thing about it, I think I'm a chameleon. And I think I'm a master puppeteer. I can read the room. I can read people. I'm good with people. My way isn't the right way for everybody. And it's not for everybody. And it's not for every team. It's not for every owner. It's not for every player. But that's a good part about being a head coach now. I get to choose those guys.
Ah.
I get to find my identity and my personality and the players that we're bringing in. And they might not be the same way I am. They might not be, oh, my God, and all this energy and all this, oh, my God, this passion about the game of football. But one thing about it, they better love the damn game. They better love coming to work. They better come in with a smile on their face. That doesn't change. If it does, it needs to go somewhere else. So how do I relate? It's simple. You just find out their core. You find out what makes them click and tick. You make relationships. Half the time, we don't even talk about football. We're in the building. This offseason, we're not talking about football. Phase one, it ain't about football. It's about people. And once you get the people and you get the relationships, when it gets hard in the month of August, then you get to the nitty-gritty.
So to that point, Max Crosby, your all-pro D-end, your edge rusher, he pounded the table for you to get this job. Right? You talk about relationships. He's the dude who's got the most cachet in that locker room. When you have a guy like him who's so respected by his peers through the league stand up for you, and take some of the personal accountability he has for himself, how much do you think that gets the ball rolling towards where you guys want to go?
It's huge. I'm going to go back to the first day I walked in the building. February 15th, 2022, 6 a.m. The first guy that meets me at the door, Max Crosby. That's my introduction to Max. And I never felt so much energy from another player before. I'm like, God damn, what is this? It's different. So I'm kind of taken back by it. And then I watched him that whole offseason, 6 a.m. So I go downstairs and we start having conversations. Non-football related. Talking about his past, how he got to where he's at today, where he wants to be. And then all of a sudden he starts quizzing me. What was it like playing with Bruce Smith? What was it like playing with Michael Strahan? Those defenses you had in New York. This kid, he wants to be educated. And then we get into the season. And we're doing, you know, just stuff out in the field. Let's just say offseason, running half gassers. I'm watching this dude run with DBs and receivers. Let me go out there and run with him. Our relationship is, to me, I think, deeper than football. It's personal. I think Max sees a little bit of himself in me, and I see myself in him. But to have Max speak up and say what he said, that's different. I had to tell him pump the brakes a little bit. I want to piss Mark Davis off. But when you do have a voice as a player, it's okay to use it. He's a Raider. And sometimes Raiders do things that's not normal. And maybe not accepted by everybody else and not the norm. But when you have your best player showing up each and every day and saying, that's the man that I want to play for, you have no other way but to follow suit. But it's not because of that. It's also because we're playing the Chiefs. Max hasn't practiced all week. He's in a hospital bed, knee looking like a watermelon. And we go out for pregame, and everybody's telling me, do not play him. And I'm looking at him eye to eye. And I said, you sure? And he told me, I can do this. And it's different when a former player like myself looks at another player, and you can look in his eye and say, he's going to be okay. But then also to say, listen, if you get up slow, or you do anything that's like, I got to pull you out.
Right.
And we have that gentleman handshake. Then you can make the decision that we made with Max on that Kansas Chiefs game. But at the end of the day, man, Max is the face of the franchise. He puts his heart and soul into that bad boy. The effort, the passion, the love for the Raider organization, the Raider fan base is unmatched. And He sets the tone. I know it's the head coach, but Mac sets the tone.
So he told me in a recent interview I did with him that he has been preaching accountability to the guys on the defensive front. He's got 10 guys already training with him every morning. When you see that, is this, first off, is this different? Like, is this a change, not in him, but in your building?
Without a doubt. I mean, ever since the team that was in our building for the Super Bowl left, Team in Red, it's been a Max Crosby show. And he brought his friends. Because like I told you, when I first showed up on February 15th, 2022, it was only Max. If you walk in that building Monday, you're going to see 25 to 30 guys in there. Davante Adams, the entire D-line, DBs. Hey, guys, you ain't got to be here until April 15th. It's okay, slow down. But that's not how we're rolling no more.
So how does that make you feel?
I know we're coming. I know we're ready. I know we're building something special. I don't know what it is. I don't know when it's going to happen. I don't know if it's this year, next year. But I know the culture's right. I know the mindset's right. I know it's strictly business in that building. And then when we're off the building, we have fun doing it and doing it together.
Okay, so now part of what you guys have to figure out, and you've taken some steps, is your quarterback, right? You got Gardner Minshew in there. You've got Aiden in there. Yeah. But how do you plan to continue to address that? What you guys are picking at 13.
It's a good number.
Maybe.
It's a good number.
If you stay there. But, you know, how are you guys going to continue to address that?
Well, you know you can't have two quarterbacks on the roster, right? So we know we got to add some.
Okay.
The next wave is the draft.
Okay.
So we'll see. I got Tom Telesco in here. I got the magician. Figure out what he got up his sleeve. You know, he's done it for a long time. I got a lot of trust in him. I think he's seen it wherever he's been, right?
Right.
Peyton Manning, Andrew Luck, becomes a GM with the Chargers, Phillip Rivers, Justin Herbert. So he knows something about quarterbacks.
Yes, he does.
So I'm going to let him figure it out. I'm going to let him figure it out. But I know this. Like, we got to get another quarterback in the room. We know that. But at the end of the day, listen, Aiden O'Connell played his ass off. He did a hell of a job for us. First game he ever played, Chargers win. 6-7 sacks, turned the ball over. Critical interception in the red zone. We play the Minnesota Vikings later in the season. Goose egg, comes back out, lights it up. So you're talking about a kid that has the mental toughness to play the National Football League. Whatever happens and whatever we do, it got to go through Aiden O'Connell. Being honest with you. Because he's earned that right.
Okay.
But like anybody else, it's all about competition. And if we can make that room the most competitive room on our team, the quarterback room, we'll be a good football team.
Oh, man.
All right, Tom, first off, some of the fantastic stuff you said. The Max
Crosby. One of a kind, man.
He is, I mean, you know, as I was doing the interview, I'm kind of like, okay, I'm getting worked up here, right? Like, he's, I get it, like, I feel it. And then when I rewatch the interview, I'm like, okay, I feel it.
Yeah.
I mean, he knows his locker room. And the fact that he's talking about Max Crosby and the way Max has got these guys going, and he's got that energy, which is his energy. And now he's in a position to pick the guys who can continue to convey that energy. It's just absolutely fantastic. Now, we'll see if it works. You know, he talked about, hey, he is not everybody's cup of tea. You know, he was, you know, we didn't know if he was going to be available for the Raiders head coach or other head coaching jobs. But one of the words out there was like, he's such a Raider. We don't know if he'd be just as invested in our club because he'd been so outspoken about wearing the silver and black.
My favorite thing of that whole interview, Steve, is when you got him rolling on the defensive line. You bring in Christian Wilkins. You got Max Crosby, Malcolm Kuntz, and the young buck, the first-round pick from a year ago on the other side, Tyree Wilson.
Oh, man.
Calls him the four horsemen.
How about that?
The four horsemen ready to ride. There's some guys who just speak in sound bites. AP is one of those guys. The big question is going to be, and you talked to him about it right there, it's going to be the quarterback position.
Yes.
Now, he says anything we do goes through Aiden O'Connell. In other words, and I get this, AP being a former player, hey, that guy was the starter. He won some games for you last year. So he starts out atop the depth chart, something that Kenny Pickett probably was hoping he was going to hear in Pittsburgh until he did it. But you know you're going to add to that room. You brought in a Gardner Minshew. You gave him a pretty good contract, $15 million,
yes,
fully guaranteed. That's significant. But it's very obvious the Raiders have designs on going and drafting a quarterback here. Tom Telesco and his history with the Chargers rarely traded up in round one. But Mark Davis, Antonio Pierce, every single time that they sat down with GM candidates, it was, how do we go and get the quarterback? That's what they're going to be attempting to do, figure out, all right, who can we move up for here?
Jaden Daniels makes a lot of sense. Got the history with Antonio Pierce going back to Arizona State. I also could see Michael Penix being a logical pick for the Raiders. Kind of fits the mold that we've seen in the past that Tom Telesco likes in quarterbacks here. I think the entire thing is fascinating. I do know this. They got further to go than some of the other teams who are going to be trying to trade up, which means the price is that much steeper.
Yeah, they don't have quite the freight to move up, but they're not going to be afraid to go ahead and do it because they know, they think this roster is pretty darn good and that if they get their quarterback to build around, that's going to be the guy. We're seeing Aiden O'Connell throw that pass right there, but it goes through him, but it might go through him. I mean, again, speaking with Antonio, I got every feeling that they're going to go out and draft one of these quarterbacks unless there's just something, a medical or something, that knocks somebody off their board like a Michael Penix. But
they drafted Tyree Wilson last year with a bad foot.
Correct.
It's the Raiders. There's 32 different teams with 32 doctors, 32 degrees of risk tolerance. Raiders historically have had a little bit more risk tolerance. So, again, Michael Penix, who we'd be talking about as a surefire first-round pick, but for the medical, I wouldn't rule out that possibility.
Wouldn't rule out at all. And, Tom, you got something coming up from a coach who just got a new running back to help his team.
That's right. Saquon Barkley is now a Philadelphia Eagle. Nick Sirianni speaking for the first time of what it means not just to get Saquon, but to get him from your division rival. We'll also talk about what went wrong down the stretch for the Eagles last season and how Sirianni intends to fix it in 2024. That's up next on the NFL Report.
You go into your shower feeling tired. But as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
L-A-S-I-K. LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
Hey, love you. Hey.
Washington 17, Eagles 7.
This is where y'all change it. Let's go.
He's in! Yeah. Touchdown!
McLaurin couldn't get the feed in.
It's a good catch. You probably out, though.
Good
job. You're
good
doing a great job. Go and this.
Back into field goal range.
All right, field goal.
I don't watch field goals. Should I look at Coach Clay? He points at me or he gives me one of these, like, if we miss.
We've won pretty much every way you can win in this league.
Everybody remembers how the Eagles 2023 season finished. There was a time, Steve, they're in the competition, in the running for the number one overall seed in the NFC. Things got a little bit haywire. They've made a lot of changes since. I got a chance to sit down in recent days here in Orlando, Tom Pelissero, Steve White from the NFL Report from the NFL annual meeting, and talked about one of those new big additions, Saquon Barkley, as well as a question that started out as, what is the state of the 2024 Philadelphia Eagles? Sirianni gave what I thought was a fascinating response.
Just looking to take it one day at a time. And, you know, I think that, you know, coming off of the 2022 season, you think to yourself, man, we got to do what we got to do to get back to where we were so close. And I think that, you know, it really just proved to you that you really just got to take things one day at a time. And so right now, you know, we've had I think by a lot of accounts, we've had a great off season so far, and, you know, got to keep doing that through the draft, and we'll take that one day at a time. That will lead into the training camp and OTAs, and, you know, just looking forward to building the team and, you know, coming close as a team.
So we talk about doing it one day at a time. Were some guys getting ahead of themselves in terms of?
I would say that was, I wouldn't say some guys, say me. I'd look at myself in the mirror first. I think we all did. We had a lot of, you know, when you get close like that and you want to be back so bad, I think it's, it's easy to find yourself looking up to the top of the mountain and saying, I got to get back there. And it really does take one day at a time. And what a great lesson for us last year. And so the state of the Philadelphia Eagles is where we are, want to be right now. And so that gives me an opportunity not to sidestep your question, but it is where we want to be as far as just, hey, we're here. We're in this offseason portion of it. Players get to come in here in a couple weeks. We get to get going on some OTA stuff and get them lifting and getting to be together and getting in the classroom. So we're looking forward to that as we approach.
So since last time we saw you, you signed Saquon Barkley. Take me through that process and why now is the time to convince Howie to spend on a running back.
Well, just so grateful to Howie that he's just always looking to improve our football team. I really, you know, just he works tirelessly to improve our team, and really grateful to be around that. Really excited, obviously, about Saquon and the things that he can do. You know, just such a dynamic football player, as an actual running back, and then also the things he can do as a pass catcher. And so just, you know, he's just going to bring an element to our offense and to our team. You know, as much as we see him, you know, all the highlights that we see on the tape, you know, from my understanding and all our homework, he's such a good leader and a teammate as well. So to be able to add that into our locker room, not only the playmaking ability, but to the person is really important. And so, you know, and to be able to like there, how many times have I watched him on the opposite sideline playing him two times this last year, three times the year before, two times the year before is like, man, we don't have to play against that guy anymore. Great. Oh, he's on our team even more perfect. And so that's exciting that, you know, because we've seen him up close and personal and we just know how good of a football player he is, you know, and he's big man. He's hard to tackle. And, you know, when it gets cold there in the Northeast at in December and January, looking forward to having him on our sideline where he wears down that defense and it's hard to tackle him. It's hard to tackle him in September too. Let's be honest, but really looking forward to all that.
Saquon Barkley has caused a lot of problems for Nick Sirianni and a lot of other people through the years here. Now he is on the Eagles side. He grew up like an hour outside of Philadelphia, so it's a homecoming for Saquon as well. An aggressive move, Steve, from an Eagles team that historically hasn't paid big for running backs, but they're making a big bet that Saquon's a difference maker.
Yeah, look, they gave up on DeAndre Swift because they knew they could get somebody who's more physical, right, than Saquon Barkley. It's a durability issue for Saquon Barkley. That's the only thing. If he stays on the field behind this offensive line, yes, it lost Jason Kelce, but they'll slide Cam Jurgens over. They've got some players in place. He is going to add a lot. And I like what he said about the cold weather. And it made it seem like, they played in cold weather a lot last year during that skid. Maybe there were some issues. Now we've got a guy who's played in cold weather his whole life who could possibly help us. But, Tom, I want to backtrack to the front end of that interview where he was talking about we're doing things day by day. And it wasn't a cliche day by day where he talked about that maybe we got out a little ahead of ourselves. To me, I took that as maybe we thought we were better than we actually were and didn't put in, as the new coach speak is, the strain or the grind that we needed to be a good football team.
Some of the little things sometimes can slip through the cracks here, and you saw that down the stretch. They had that game against San Francisco.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff happened in that game. It was an ugly showing, and they never fully recovered. I also asked Sirianni about Jalen Hurts and where he stands. Kind of deferred to the fact that, listen, above all else, you know this about Jalen Hurts. He is going to work at it. He's an unbelievably hard worker. That's what he's going to fall back upon throughout the course of this process. Listen, they got to get it going on both sides of the ball. They got new coordinators. Kellen Moore's there now.
Right.
Vic Fangio over on the defensive side of the ball. You bring back a juice guy like Chauncey Gardner-Johnson.
Oh, boy.
In your secondary, who's going to be part of your identity. And the other thing that Sirianni brought up, leadership with Saquon. You lose Jason Kelce. You lose Fletcher Cox. There is a leadership void. Still got Brandon Graham and Lane Johnson, some of the other guys, but you need some people, maybe some of those young players, to step in as the leaders for this football.
Yeah, and a lot of times you try to import leadership, it doesn't always work, but Saquon's got the gravitas from a team that's faced him twice a year to come in and make it work. Well, Tom, guess what we have coming up next?
we've got an owner. We've got Vikings co-owner Mark Wolf, and we've got some questions for him.
Who's your quarterback, Mark?
Who is your quarterback? And what about that superstar wide receiver? No, not Jordan Addison, but the other one. Oh, we got questions for Mark, and we'll get some answered next on the NFL Report.
Check with Mark.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
LASIK. LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK. LASIK.com.
All right, we are back at the NFL Report, and Tom Pelissero, we are now joined by a special guest, Vikings co-owner Mark Wolf. Mark, thank you so much for joining us here.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
Taking time out of a busy day. Tom and I were wondering if you're like escaping from all of these monotonous meetings just to come spend time with us.
Get a little outdoor here, yeah, absolutely.
So, Mark, you know, just to start things off, of course, the Vikings, big conversation leading into the draft. Your quarterback spot, are you pushing the guys to go ahead and get somebody in it? We know you signed Sam Darnold, but.
Well, we love Sam Darnold, but, you know, when it comes to the quarterback's position, it's certainly critical. And Kwesi and Coach O'Connell are working hard. We've got a plan, and Sam Darnold's part of it. And we're excited he's in the building, and we're excited we have two first-round picks. So we'll see where it all goes. We have a lot of flexibility, and we'll see what happens.
Some other teams that are in the quarterback market, they've had their owners and their team presidents, among others, in the interview process. As you said, it's a very unique, very important position. How involved do you and Ziggy get through this process?
Well, we're certainly engaged all the time with Kwesi and Coach and Rob Brzezinski, the whole football operations. And but we have a lot of confidence that they know what they're doing. They've got the right ideas, and we're behind them. And to the extent they're going to want further involvement from us, we're there to help. But again, we know what we know, and we know what they know, and they'll get it right.
Oh, that sounds like you guys had a good detailed plan going on right there. We also know one of the bigger things going around with the Vikings is Justin Jefferson. At some point, there's going to be extension talks or something like that. Have those started?
Well, we had great positive conversations last season, and we're looking forward to more positive conversations this offseason. Justin Jefferson is a unique talent, best in the game, and we're excited he's a Minnesota Viking. And not only is he a great player, he's become a great leader of our locker room, and he's great in the community. So the thrills he gives the fans on the field and just the way he carries himself, we're looking forward to some real positive conversations.
So even if Kwesi comes to you and goes, Mark, we made a real strong run, because you guys did last year to try to get the extension. It's just not going to happen. But I can get three first-round picks for Justin Jefferson. How are you feeling?
Again, right now we're focused on getting that guy on our field with the purple, and he looks great in purple, and we're going to do our best to keep it that way.
You talked about making the move to get a second first-round draft pick. I mean, that takes, you know, a lot of, you know, oomph, I guess, to say it. But what about the job Kwesi and Kevin have done, not only winning ball games in the few years they've been together, but the plan that they have constructed for you guys to have short and long-term success?
Well, that's our way we're looking at it. We're trying to get sustained success. We want to win Super Bowls. We want to get over that line. And we have a lot of confidence in Kwesi and Coach O'Connell. They're working great together. Our coaching staff, our personal staff, working really hard. And having the two first-round picks gives us a lot of flexibility. And that's great, whether it's up, down, or in the middle. We know with this deep draft here, we're going to be okay.
Marcus, you know I live up in Minneapolis. I've covered I don't know how many of your games throughout your entire ownership tenure. Almost everybody that I remember is gone. The locker room has completely changed over. There's one guy left. His name is Harrison Smith, another restructured deal.
to continue to have Harrison Smith, who, in my opinion, is a Hall of Fame caliber safety, one of the longest running Vikings in the modern era, what does it mean to you and the organization?
Couldn't agree more. I mean, entering his 13th season now, I mean, just an incredible player, great leader, and we couldn't be happier for him and his family that he's back with us this coming year. And we agree with you, and we're just excited to have him back. And he's just such a great presence on the field and great in the locker room. So the way he carries himself, we're really, really proud. One of the greatest picks in Vikings history, and he's proven it on the field.
Now, I was thinking that, you know, when you guys were going through the contract situation with Harrison, if it didn't work out in Minnesota, maybe you'd join your former head coach in Dallas. What do you think about Zim being back in the league here 3 years later?
Well, we're happy for Coach Zim, and I know he'll do a great job in Dallas. He's just one of the great defensive minds, and he's in the right position there. And, great memories with Coach Zimmer, and we wish him all the best.
So you guys have been doing more than talking Vikings here, you owners. And this morning, after the competition committee, you guys did vote to ban the swivel hip drop tackle. Could you kind of walk us through the decision? Because we heard it was a unanimous vote to get that play out of the game.
I think, you know, the focus on health and safety is very real, and it really comes around every year at these meetings. And we applaud the league, the commissioner, and the focus that's put on health and safety. And that's really what this whole rule is about. We're just trying to make the game healthier, safer for the players. And I think that's been proven out. The statistics are injuries are down from the years prior, and this is just a continuing of that effort, and that's why it passed unanimously.
The kickoff play is another one that we're talking about because of the high injury rates. It's changed for the last 5 years. Special teams coordinators have to keep adjusting. What we're talking about now, though, is something pretty radical in what they're calling the NFL hybrid kickoff, with the kickoff and the return teams both on the opposite side of the field. You can't move until the ball hits the ground or is caught. There's a landing zone. There's a lot of it's literally a 10-page type of report in the room when it's being presented. And I know Darren Rizzi, John Fossil, and others were here. How is it received? How much do you get it? Is this actually what's going to happen?
Well, it's still ongoing. And, you know, what's great about the NFL and football, of all the major sports, football, we're not afraid to make the game better, for players and, more importantly, for the fans. It's just a great game, and I know there's a lot of conversation, and it's about health and safety. We want to get the kickoff back. It's such a great play, and it's kind of gone away. The amount of touchbacks, to not have a single touchback in the Super Bowl, things like that. And we're supportive of putting in a kickoff rule. There's still conversations ongoing on that. We'll see where it all falls out. So I applaud the league for making the effort, and we look forward to having it back. But again, with health and safety still in mind.
Do you think you have a ruling on it? Rich McKay did say he's hoping by the time this meeting ends, you all be able to have some conclusion, because you have to build your rosters. And this new rule could change some of the type of personnel you use.
Well, that is the goal. We'll defer to Chairman McKay on the politics of all this. But again, we're very supportive of trying to get a kickoff play back for the fans and for the players, and to make it as safe and healthy as possible.
And there's a lot of things for you guys, for Vikings fans, to be excited about. Looking forward to 2024. You're going back to London. You get a fully healthy Justin Jefferson back on the field. But national media-wise, there's not a lot of Vikings discussion. It's the Bears have the number one pick. It's the Packers on the rise game with Jordan Love. The Lions were just on the precipice of a Super Bowl. How bad do you want to get to September and go out there and reboot after everything you guys went through last year?
Absolutely. And no one's ever won a Super Bowl at an owners' meeting in March. So that's what it's all about. And we're excited. And, you know, we talk a lot about quarterback. I'm super excited about the defensive pickups we've made in the free agency so far. And Coach Flores, coordinator of our defense, I know we're going to be a lot better there as well. So there's a lot to look forward to, and looking forward to get some wins.
Well, Mark, as a Minneapolis native who grew up with the Purple People Eaters and Chuck Foreman and Fran Tarkenton, it is always good to talk about the Minnesota Vikings, and thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, great to be with you. Thank you. Skol.
There you go. Mark Wolf, concluding a fantastic and loaded NFL report. Make sure to watch Tom, Ian, and Mike on The Insiders Tuesday from the league meetings at 1 p.m. And James Palmer and I, we will not be here Thursday, but we will be back next Monday for the NFL report. Don't forget, this is a podcast. Come on, 7 p.m. streaming live on all of your free streaming apps. Tom Pelissero, thanks so much for joining us again. Yes. Mark Wolf, and we are out.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.